Father, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are to us. This morning, Lord, we come before you in willing obedience and submission to your word. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us through your precious word. Help us, Lord, to take what you say today and let it go deep down into our hearts and so produce the fruit that you desire in our lives. Help me, Lord, to communicate this very simply to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. H.G. Wells once listed the 10 most famous and most important men in all of history, and he listed Jesus Christ as number one. Now, H.G. Wells, of course, you know, was an English writer. I remember in school, he was one of the authors we had to read along with P.G. Wodehouse and Shakespeare for special literature. Very famous guy, and he was best known for his work in science fiction, in the science fiction genre. On the first glance, you and I might think, that is marvelous, putting Jesus as number one. We might think he did Jesus a favor. However, on further reflection and on further thought, we would have to differ from his analysis and how he came about putting Jesus as number one. Why should we defer? Because Jesus was not just a man among men, he was God among men. Amen? He was more than the number one that H.G. Wells listed him as. There is nobody like him, there's nobody like him, and there will never be anybody like him. Jesus is a class all by himself. Someone anonymously wrote this many, many years ago, and he said this: more than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. Only once did he cross the boundary of his country into which he lived, and that was during his childhood. In infancy, he startled the king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked on water and he hushed the sea to sleep. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of all the countries in this world cannot hold all the books that were written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more than any other songwriter put together ever will be in the future too. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of the number of pupils they've had than people who have joined colleges to study about the Lord Jesus Christ. Though time has spread many years between the people of his generation and our generation and the scene of crucifixion, yet he still lives. Amen. As we draw closer to Easter, our reflections go towards the cross. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him down. He stands forth among the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, and adored by saints, and feared by devils, as a living personal Christ, our Lord Jesus, and our Savior, and our God. Wow. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is still the central figure of all the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments in every country of this world that has ever sat and will ever sit in the future, all the kings that have ever reigned, all put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as this one solitary figure, Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you again. There was never a man like him. There is no man like him, and there's never going to be one like him. Because Jesus is different. Christianity is different. Christianity is not a philosophy, it is a person. You can have Buddhism without Buddha. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure, and it'll go on. I remember growing up as a Catholic myself, and this is my experience. Jesus only figured around the time of Good Friday and Easter. He was there, but he was always on the back burner. Even though I went to church 3 times a week, it was Mary that was prominent. It was the saints that were prominent. And many Catholics may try to cover that up or say, no, that's not true, but that's my experience. Walking and living as a Catholic and growing up in quite a staunch Catholic home. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a code. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ himself. You take the word Christian, you take the word Christ out of the word Christian, and what have you been left with? I-A-N. What does it stand for? I am nothing. You take Christ out of Christian and you've got nothing, folks. There is one statement in the Bible that forever sets Jesus apart and separate from anyone else who has ever lived and who will ever live. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to this, folks. He is the way. Without him, there is no going. He is the truth. Without him, there is no knowing. He is the life. Without him, there is no growing. My text today is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through to 3, and Hebrews 13, 8. Short text, but we're going to look at it right now. So if you got your Bibles, can you please turn with me? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through to 3, and Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8. Can I ask Russell to please read out the first text for me? Hebrews 1, 1 through to 3.
God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Great. And Hebrews 13:8 says this. Hebrews 13:18, and it says this. No, 8, sorry, I beg your pardon. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The author of Hebrews tells us in these few short verses what exactly makes Jesus so unique and so different. My point number one is this, his supreme power. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 says, and Jesus came to them and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 it says, and now in these final days he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. Colossians 1:16 says this, for by him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. It is because Jesus created this world that he had power over this world. When he was in this world, outside of creation, Jesus demonstrated his power by proving that he was who he claimed to be. I've listed 5 things here. I'm going to quickly run through them. He had power over disaster. In the middle of a raging storm, he could speak to this boisterous sea and say, peace, be still. And the waves would lie down at his feet in stillness. Jesus had power over demons. He could say to the demon-possessed man, come out of him. and the demons would run in all directions. He had power over disease. He could say to the leper, "Be healed," and the spots would look for a place to hide. They would simply disappear. He had power over death. When he went to the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the chains of death that bound Lazarus was unshackled, and Lazarus came forth. He had power over depravity. He could say to the worst sinner, "Your sins are forgiven." And immediately his sins that were like scarlet would turn to as white as snow. That's what the scripture says. Purity, as the creator of this universe, he forgave our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. This universe, folks, is under his dominion. His sustaining power. Verse 3 says this, "And the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of majesty, God in heaven." Listen to this, folks. Jesus is the only one that can put your life together, nothing else. Stop looking for something else because you're wasting your time. Jesus is the only one who can keep your life together. Only Jesus can take the pieces of your life and mine, no matter how shattered they are, and put them together. He is the only one that can do it, and he could make us complete and whole if we care to follow him. In these last days, God has spoken to this world in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our text said. Jesus was more than a prophet. A prophet is God's messenger. But Jesus was more than that. Jesus was God's Messiah. A prophet was God's spokesman, but Jesus is God's Son. From the prophet we hear the voice of God, but in Jesus we see the very person of God. Jesus is not just God's best word to man. He is God's final or last word to man. After Jesus, even God has nothing else to say. Because when you have said Jesus, you have said it all. In that one name, every vocabulary of God is exhausted. Because after Jesus, there is nothing else more to say. There is nothing else to say because there is nobody like Jesus, and there will never be anybody like Jesus. My second point this morning is his sinless perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by his mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of God in heaven." The truth is simple. Jesus is God. This is one of the strongest statements of his deity in the Bible. In some translation, it says Jesus is the express image of God. That word "image" in the Greek indicates that Jesus is the perfect copy of God, or God himself, for he is God himself. That is why Jesus could say in John 14 verse 9, he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He could also say in John 10:30, "I and the Father am one." So if you want to know Jesus, if you want to know God today, all you have to do is look to Jesus. If you want to know what God would say if he was here on this earth, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus, for in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And that's from Colossians 2:9. Now here's a thought, folks. Have you ever said something that you wish you never said in life? All the time? Have you ever made a statement that you had to correct? All the time. You sound like a married man there, Russell. Sorry. We all have gone through this. But do you realize this, that Jesus never withdrew or corrected any statement he ever made? Never. Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus never once had to apologize to anyone for anything? Jesus never apologized for anything he did, for he never made a mistake. He never apologized for anything he said, for he never made a misstatement. He never apologized for anywhere he went, for he never made a misstep. Not once did Jesus ever confess his sins. Even though he taught his disciples to ask for forgiveness, he never asked for forgiveness himself. Even on the cross, when he hung there dying as a common criminal, he said, "Father, forgive them." The reason he never had to confess any sins is because he never had any sins to confess. Do you remember the one occasion Jesus said, "I am the light of the world"? Well, the scripture tells us in 1 John 1:5 that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, do you realize, like, unlike water and wind, light is incorruptible. It cannot be contaminated. Light is not susceptible to contamination or infection. It doesn't matter if it's sunlight or if it's moonlight, starlight or lamplight. Light will always be clean. Always. Light exposes the dirty particles, but not one speck of dust gets onto the light. For instance, you have a dusty window, you can shine a light through it. The light may be a little blurry when it comes through the window, but it's still pure because none of that dust gets onto the light, because light cannot be contaminated. Such is the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he walked and he lived in this sinful and dirty world, he lived and died as one who knew no sin. My third point this morning is his sovereign position. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his image, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." Jesus holds a position that no one else has ever held and no one else will ever hold. He held a position, and we see his position is one of power and dominance. In his perfection, we see dignity, but in his position, we also see the dominion. He is a recipient of all things, verse 3 says. "In these last days, God spoke to us by a Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world." The world was not only made by Jesus, but it was also made for Jesus. Romans 11:36 says this, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever." Jesus, folks, holds the title deed to all the earth. He holds the title deed. It was made by him and it was made for him. That is why the Bible speaks of stewardship rather than ownership when it talks to us. You may not realize this, but you and I don't own anything in this world. Everything you have and everything I have is given to us on a loan. The Lord owns everything, folks. He does. Jesus is our landlord. How about that? A good landlord. Now, if you are part of a family of God, if we are a part of family of God, and I'm sure we all are, we should rejoice in this, that Jesus owns all, because Romans 8:17 tells us this, which is very exciting. "As children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." That means everything Christ has is ours. Amen? Because that's what the scripture says. I get everything, and so do you. Everything he is going to get, we are going to get ourselves. That's what the text says. He is our Redeemer. Verse 3 says, "By himself purged our sins." It was the Lord Jesus who through his shed blood cleansed us from all our sins. We're going to hear a little about that on Good Friday in more detail. He did this by himself. After he purged our sins, we are told, he sat down. That's an amazing statement. Now, the priests of the Old Testament never sit down. There is no stools or chairs in the tabernacle, because their job was never finished. They had to keep on offering sacrifice over and over and over again. There was nothing there for them to sit down and relax. Their job was constant. But you see, Jesus was our perfect priest. He offered a perfect sacrifice. And because his sacrifice was perfect, it was also permanent. It was never needed to be repeated again. Hence he sat down. Hebrews 7:26 and verse 27 says this, For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once, and when he offered that up, he sat down. Amen? What a beautiful thought that is. Then he is a ruler of all things. Where is this high priest right now? What is he doing today? Scripture tells us he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, majesty on high, in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. The right hand was a place of power. It was a place of authority. In other words, Jesus was not only our king, but he was also our high priest, and he today makes intercession for us. Amen? When the devil brings accusations against us, according to Revelation chapter 12, Jesus pleads our cause and says, Father, look at the blood over him. To the theologian, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the zoologist, he is a lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? If you are hungry this morning, he is the bread of life. If you are thirsty, he is a fountain of water. If you are blind, he is the light of the world. If you are lost, he is the way. If you are confused, he is the truth. If you are dying, he is life. I say it proudly and I say it gladly. There is nobody like Jesus. What a Savior. What a God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your encouraging word, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to look for anyone or in any place for a solution that only you can provide. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. You're a God who loves us. You're a God who cares for us. You're a God who knows exactly what we're going through. You're a God who wants to help us. You're a God who wants to care for us. You're a God who wants to heal us in body, mind, and spirit, Lord. We thank you. This morning we ask for a special blessing on everyone here and a special blessing on those who couldn't make it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you.